Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Kelyuma, okay, it's the Greek word that means an outcry, a shout of excitement. When the king returns, truth seekers, he's going to be excited.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, 14, and 15. Welcome aboard, Truth Seekers. So excited to have you with me in the Truth Infusion Studios today. And we are going to continue on today with a series of teaching on what should be one of the more exciting topics to a child of God. We're going to be talking about the rapture of the church. Now, what are we not talking about in this series? I don't know how many radio programs it's going to take to cover this passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I will give you a little bit of a heads up on this one thing. What I'm not going to be covering in this time, I don't feel any leading from the Lord to discuss whether or not there is a rapture. I personally feel like that's a silly topic to even discuss, much less argue. The Bible makes it clear that there will be a period of time in the future, has not happened yet, when the church will be taken away. Now, some people will argue that the word rapture is never found in the Bible. And that's right, but neither is the word Sunday school. And a whole lot of the church is very pro-Sunday school. Let's don't talk about modern-day English words for eternal doctrine. What we do want to talk about are concepts and ideas that the Word brings out. And without a doubt, there's going to come a time where the church is forcibly snatched away from this earth. Now, the word that covers this in the Greek in Paul's writing is the word harpazo. And it's found in this very section here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, speaking of those that were dead in Christ. We will be caught up. That word is harpazo. It is the Greek word which is defined to be forcibly snatched away. So I have no interest in arguing or building a case for something that is obvious in the Word. And just as another side note, those that tend to make a hard stand on the idea that there is no such thing as rapture found in the Bible, they will not, or they should not at least, have any problem with the concept of resurrection, the resurrection of Christ, and thereby the resurrection of those that put their faith in Christ, a resurrection day that's coming, multiple places in the Word that speaks of this time. The resurrection and the rapture are synonymous. They are the same thing. So if you feel better about saying, I believe there is a resurrection day but not a rapture, I'm not arguing with you. You're talking about the same thing. And praise God that it's true, because there's coming a day when we're going to be taken out of this world. Now, another thing we're not going to discuss in this series, just to begin this program today, I'm not going to be talking about pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation rapture. I'm not going there. And to be honest with you, my personal opinion is I believe there's more that draws out of the word that it's going to happen prior to the 7-year tribulation period. I'm not going into that right now. You know what? I don't feel like arguing that with people. It's not a point of contention for me. Let's just leave it like this. You may be pre, you may be post, you may be somewhere in the middle. You know what I am? I'm just pro-rapture. I believe it's going to happen. And the Word says it does. I think I tend to lean toward it being before the tribulation period. I think that that's the main reason for us to be raptured away from it. But hey, that's not what this series is about. What God wants us to do in this series, what I believe He's put on my heart, is to take a look at the fine details, the amazing, colorful, fantastic details that Paul gives us as to what that day is going to be like. Okay, let's set aside when that day may possibly occur, and let's just talk about the exciting details that will come when that day comes about, because we have those written out in black and white from the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it's good stuff. The verses I began the show with are a few verses that just preface us getting into the detail work of what's going to happen that day. And if you were with us last week, we began to talk about it. And I began by telling you that in verse 16, as the Apostle Paul begins to lay out the details of what this amazing opportunity, an amazing gift to the church, this rapturing moment, this snatching away, when we begin to see the details of what's going to take place, the first thing that he gives us in verse 16 is that there's going to be some sounds to hear. Some of the activity and the actions of this event are going to be initiated by some fantastic sounds. And that's what we talked about in the last show, because the verse begins like this. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. And it says this, "For the Lord Himself," and that's speaking of Christ, "the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout." With a shout. And just by means of a very quick review, what I tried to bring out was this is the Greek word kelyuma. Okay, it's the Greek word that means an outcry, a shout of excitement. When the King returns, truth seekers, He's going to be excited. And this isn't a shout just to get everybody's attention, though I fully believe that it will. I think it's going to be an audible, loud shout. But it's more than just Jesus saying, "Hey, look up here at me." This is a cry of excitement as He finally gets the nod from God the Father. "Go get my children. Go collect your bride." And when Christ gets the green light He's been waiting for about 2,000 years now, it's not going to come with some solemn Savior that slowly stands up off the throne and collects Himself and walks forward to the edge of heaven to cry out. No, when He gets the word, this Greek word kelyuma, it's exciting. It's a shout. It's a woohoo that's going to echo through the airwaves, man. It's going to permeate the atmosphere. It's going to be loud enough to wake up the dead. And we could just talk about that and get excited. But you know, there's more that this verse tells us. So we're going to continue forward and talk about a couple of other amazing sounds to be heard on this day, the day that Jesus comes to collect His bride. Let's read this verse again and get to the next sound. "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout." Here it is. "With the voice of an archangel." Now, what we know at this point is that the head archangel in heaven, in the economy of heaven, in the government of heaven, rather, is a better word, in the military uniformity of heaven, there is a
a general, if you will, of the heavenly host. He is the highest of the angels after Lucifer rebelled against God and God threw him out of heaven, and Jesus said he fell like lightning to the earth. There remained in his place a warring angel, a general of the angelic host, and this is Michael. Mentioned a few other times in Scripture. He's not mentioned by name here, but we know when the Bible brings out and points at the archangel that Michael is who it's talking about, the second in command in heaven under the Godhead. And this verse tells us that after Christ gives this shout of excitement, that the voice of the archangel will be heard. Now, why will Michael shout? Okay, we don't have any other deliberate and direct detail. However, I have an idea. I have an idea that's exciting to me, and that's what I want to share with you. The Bible tells us, in a few different places, describes Satan and some titles of Satan, and we get a picture of the type of control and dominion that Satan has over this earth right now. Wrote a few of them down just before we went on the air. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he is referred to as the God of this world. Now, that's a little g, God. Some translations of the same verse says the God of this age, but the God of this world. In John chapter 12, verse 31, he is called the ruler of this world or the ruler of this age. But I think one that gives us a pretty amazing angle on the dominion or the limited rule of Satan right now in this present time is found in Ephesians chapter 2, right there at the beginning. It's verse 1 or 2 in that area. And he is referred to as the prince of the power of the air. Now, what does all this mean? What are we getting at here? What this is showing us is that Satan has a definite and outlined dominion and rulership over this world. Some of those titles in John, specifically, that's Jesus himself calling him the ruler of this world, the prince of the power of the air. It gives us the limits or the boundaries of his dominion. He is in control of most all that takes place within the atmosphere of this world. Now, we don't like to think about it that way, and I'm not saying that he tells God what's going to go on in this world. God is ultimately in control of it all. Because there is a great difference in dominion and domination. God dominates every aspect of time and space under the control of his sovereignty. This creation is his. But within that, he created Adam and Eve and gave them dominion over this world in the beginning. And when they fail, when they rebelled, when Adam knowingly ate of the fruit of the garden, he gave up the dominion that now Satan holds. He transferred his dominion and handed it over to the serpent. And this is where Satan gets this rulership. Now, listen, it's limited. He operates within the boundaries and the out-of-bounds lines that God has set for him. But that being said, he does have a dominion, that's the best word I can think of, a kingship over the powers of the air, over this world, over this age. Okay, now here's the whole reason that I'm bringing this up. He is powerful. And his army is powerful. So here's a question for you to ask or to answer wherever you are right now. Where are we going to meet Jesus? Now, we're going to this meeting with him. Where's it going to happen? Well, in this same passage of Scripture, the next verse, it says that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. That them is speaking of the dead in Christ who have now risen with glorified bodies. Where are we going to meet them? In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. We are going to meet Jesus in the air. That means we have to pass through enemy territory to get to where Jesus is going to be. He's going to stop somewhere in the sky. He's going to issue a loud cry of excitement. And then Michael is going to give an order. Michael's dominion is over the angelic host. Okay? Michael's going to ring out a command to his army, the host of heaven. And I believe that this is what we're looking at here. I believe that from the four corners of the earth will come the mighty angelic warriors. And they will see to it that Satan and his army, the evil ones, are reduced to frustrated bystanders. See, we got to pass through enemy territory to get to where Jesus is. And you better believe that Satan and the demons are going to make a last-ditch effort, pull out all the stops, no holds barred, no punches pulled. They are going to do their very best to keep this moment from happening. But that's where Michael comes in. The angels, I believe, look, take it as David's opinion and do with it whatever you want. But I believe these angels are going to form ranks and they're going to escort the bride up the aisle to meet the groom. They will escort us for the last time through the plans and the territory of the enemy to meet with our Savior. Satan may try, but Satan won't touch us because Satan has lost eternally. And what he's going to see in that moment is victorious saints of the living God rising to meet their Savior. That's just amazing to me. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the rest of verse 16 says, and with the trumpet of God. Okay, so let's take a few minutes to look at this third sound that Paul tells us about. The trumpet of God. You have to keep in mind when you read the writings of Paul, one of the things he was very good at was taking everyday life that the people and the culture that he was writing to, the Greek and Roman cultures and world there, taking everyday life and using it as illustrations to bring out the truth about spiritual teaching. He loved to take what they knew every day and use it to draw out a picture for what he was spiritually trying to teach. Paul often used this imagery and helped him to understand the point he was making. And I believe this is what he's talking about here, is what he's trying to teach them then and show us today. You have to understand that in the time that Paul wrote this, Rome was ruling the world. They were the ruling empire in Jesus' day and still in Paul's day and for a little bit of time left to come. And one of the common festivals or events that people knew about in the Roman culture was called a triumphus. Now let me kind of give you some information about this pretty neat illustration here. When the commanding general of the great Roman legions in that day would return back to Rome, victorious from whatever mission he was sent out on. First of all, those warring generals would never come back to Rome until they had completed their mission, and many times until they had retired. Because if you're any student of history, you know that Rome was constantly on the march, annexing territory, expanding the empire. And these great generals were out at war for most of their military career, and often they would not see Rome for years and years and years. But some of the times when they had completed a mission, a war, when they had vanquished the enemy, they would return victorious, and when they would return to Rome victorious, the Senate of Rome would commission a celebration called the Triumphus, and it would be held ultimately to celebrate the victories of Rome, but ultimately in the honor of this returning victorious general. And it was, what a great festival and event this was. It would culminate in a grand parade with all the pomp and the splendor that Rome could produce, could muster. The parade route
was a designated course through Rome, and it was very purposed. It was called, this particular parade route was called the Via Sacra. In Latin, that means the sacred road. And the procession was ordered with the Roman legions. They would march in formation. Oftentimes, the captured generals and kings of the defeated armies would be chained together and would be marched in this parade. There would be exotic animals and musicians and singers and dancers. And this celebrated general, he held the place of honor in the parade, in the triumphus. And they would put him in a golden chariot, solid gold, drawn by four white Roman war stallions. And he would be placed at the back of the parade. Now, the Via Sacra, the sacred road, it made its way through the capital city. And just imagine this in your mind. It was flanked by cheering, celebrating masses of Roman citizens. They were celebrating the general's victory. And at the last stage of the procession of the parade, the Via Sacra took a turn, and there at the end of this road stood the Roman Forum and the great Senate building. And awaiting on the great steps was the Senate itself, lined up in their robes. And there in the middle was the emperor, the Caesar. And he was there and he was waiting. What was he waiting on? He was waiting for the first sight of the victorious general's chariot to be seen by the emperor and the Senate there on the steps of the great Roman Forum. And when the general's chariot came into view, the emperor, Caesar, would give the command, and the Roman trumpeters would begin to blast the victory song. As the honored, returning, victorious, warring general made his way back to the capital city and to the Senate steps and to the very Caesar that had sent him out to do the work. Now listen, this is what Paul is referring to when he says that there will come a day where God himself, Jesus Christ, will issue a cry of excitement. A joyous cry. The dead in Christ will rise. Then Michael, the archangel, will send out a command. And from the four corners of the earth, from the four winds, will come the warring angels of heaven. And they will form ranks, if you will, a spiritual Via Sacra, a sacred road from this earth through enemy territory to where Jesus Christ will have been positioned in the air. And then the trumpets will begin to sound as God himself, I believe, points at the trumpeters of heaven and says, "Boys, start playing the victory song. My children, my victorious warriors are coming home, and we will be welcomed into the presence of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to the great city that we've been longing for, looking for all this time, to the sound of heaven's trumpets." What a day that will be. When my Jesus I will see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand, leads me through that promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Oh, there will be some sounds to hear when the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And then the rest of the verse says this, verse 16, the rest of it says, "And the dead in Christ will rise first." There's not only going to be sounds to hear, truth seekers, there is going to be a sight to see, and the dead in Christ will rise first. There's an old song that says, "When our work on earth is ended and it's time for us to go, saints will rise, saints will rise, headed for that blessed country, and it's heaven, I am told. Saints will rise, saints will rise, saints will rise in that hallelujah morning. When we hear that trumpet sound, I'm going up to see King Jesus. Saints will rise, saints will rise." David, do you really believe in a visible resurrection?
David, do you really believe that we'll be able to see them stand up all new, glorified, stand up out of the ground? You better believe I believe. I believe it's going to be literal, visible, real resurrection. Here's why. The Greek word for resurrection is a beautiful word. It's the Greek word anastasis. And it means this. It literally means to stand again. Oh, yeah. I believe that one of these days, after these sounds are heard, they will literally stand back up. In just the closing minutes here, let me tell you how much I believe that it's going to be a real and literal, visible resurrection. If somehow I'm staring at this computer screen as I'm recording for you today, if somehow I were to get an email from Jesus that said, David, get ready, in 20 minutes, I'm coming back. If I knew that was going to happen, I would conclude this show right away. You'd have to listen to this dead air space for the next few minutes. I'd grab up my wife and kids as quick as I could, and we would hit the road, and we would make for an old country cemetery in a little community called Red Lick. Now, if some of you don't know where Red Lick is, that's okay. You're probably all going to have to pass through there during the rapture. Red Lick has a Methodist church out in the country, and there's a big cemetery on the backside of that Methodist church, and I got a lot of folks buried there. My folks are there. Truth Seekers' grandparents, great-grandparents, dear friends buried there. And if I knew he was coming in 20 minutes, we'd head out for that cemetery, the backside of Red Lick and that Methodist church, and I'd park under that big oak tree, and I'd wait for the cry of excitement, for the voice of the archangel, for the trumpet of God, and I'd watch them rise. Because I'd love to take my grandparents by the hand and go meet King Jesus in the air with them. Now, if some of you are thinking, well, that's just not fair. Why do they get to rise first? Well, don't you get your feelings hurt. They just need a little head start. They got 6 feet further to go than you and me. Because we're going together to meet Jesus, y'all. You come on back next week. We'll continue this study. Until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.